Well, good evening. How are you? You're looking well. You're looking well fed. Don't fall asleep on me. Amen. It is so good to sing and to be with you, just to hear your voices, the voices of the saints when we worship, especially an old faithful hymn. I mean, meditate on those words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That is our hope. That is our testimony, right? That's what happened to me. I've been born again. And that is your testimony, right? And we will one day see our Savior face to face. You know that? Like, it is soon. It is soon. This life is fast. It is fleeting. And soon we will be able to reach and touch his hands and his side. When eternity affords us all the time in the world, that you will have a special moment, time with Jesus, just you, where he says, place your hands and touch my side. Just like he did to Thomas. On Wednesday evenings, we've been building a theology of heaven, and for the last 2 weeks, and now a third week, we will continue a look at the resurrection. We began with the extent of the fall, and therefore the extent of the resurrection. That is all of nature. That the earth is fallen. It is how you account for natural disasters and things that are seemingly fallen, that the world is in decay, but it extends so much further than that because it's the entire universe. And we just paused and we thought, like, we can't even comprehend how big this universe is. We are just discovering bits and pieces that it is billions and billions of light years wide. And this pale blue dot, this tiny planet with God's image bearers on it, and that fall, all of it is waiting for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then last time we walked through, and I really pressed the point of continuity, that resurrection by definition is continuity. In other words, it was the same body that died, Jesus' body that died, that got up out of the grave. Okay? And I know I probably disappointed some of us when I told you that you're probably not going to get your wish list in heaven. That is, I'll be like 6'6 and like a different person. Like, you're going to be the same person. Okay? We're going to pick up on that theme, and I want to show you where Scripture tells us to look when you want to ask questions about what is our resurrected body going to be like. Okay? And Scripture tells us to look no further than Jesus himself, that Jesus is our model for our resurrection. Now, why does it say that? Listen to these three verses. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Okay? Our lowly bodies will be like his glorious resurrected body. 1 John 3:2, this is one of my favorite. Beloved, we are God's children, but it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Okay? When he comes, we will be like him. 1 Corinthians 15:49. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven, the spiritual man, the man who came from heaven. We will be like him. So his resurrection, okay, is a picture and a model for ours. It's also very important that you realize and understand from these scriptures that his incarnation is permanent. Think about this. I don't have time to chase it long, but just to simply say, we often think that Jesus took on flesh for the, I mean, he did so for the purpose of our salvation. And then we kind of imagine that when he goes to heaven, like he just goes back to what he was before. That is not the case. Okay? Jesus, right now, in heaven, is his resurrected body form. He is enthroned in heaven right now in his resurrected body. Okay? It's permanent. Now, what can we learn about our resurrected body from his? Well, I challenge you, like, comb through the Gospels and the beginning of Acts and just look and comb through, mine for details, because now that you know this with clarity, look and see what it will be like. In Luke 24, he shows up and he tells them, look, I'm not a ghost. Remember last time I told you that overwhelming Americans believe, who even believe in the resurrection, they believe that we will be ghost-like, okay? We're not ghosts. Our permanent final form is not disembodied floating spirits, okay? He says there, he's flesh and bones. We will be flesh and bones. Okay, Jesus walked on earth for 40 days. He had a body suited for life on earth. He walked and talked. Remember in Luke 24, as he's walking on the road to Emmaus, he's walking. He's talking. They asked him questions. He responded to them. All of the normal functions of the body seem to be quite apparent, right? He is talking. We have vocal cords, right? It's air coming out, vocal cords, those sorts of things. In fact, they saw nothing different about him. The scripture here says that they were blinded from understanding his identity. And then at the end, it is revealed his identity. But that seems to be only for the purpose of this walking until his identity is revealed, because otherwise they would have recognized him. Right? It's that recognizable. It's that continuous, right? There is continuity. So they asked him questions. They didn't see anything different about him. They would have recognized him. In John chapter 20, Mary assumes that he is a gardener. Like a normal gardener, a normal human being. There he is. In John 21, Jesus stood on the shore and called out to the disciples, specifically Peter. This is the account where they've gone back fishing. Peter is the focus of this account in John 21. And Jesus from the shore, standing on the shore, calls out to them. His voice sounded natural. When they come back, he's cooked over a fire and they've eaten fish for breakfast. Now, I'm puzzled. I have no clue why you would ever want to eat fish for breakfast. The only saving grace there is in Luke 24. Jesus also ate broiled fish, but he also ate honeycomb. And I like that. Because the only reason you eat honeycomb is because it tastes good. So think about this, right? We delight in what tastes good. That, like, I teach my children, like, how can they see and understand that God is good? Well, he's given these five senses. You can smell and you can touch and you can taste. And how magnificent and creative is God to give us taste buds that you can create and you can mix together all these ingredients and things go really well together and they explode with flavor in your mouth. And then sometimes you experiment and things don't quite go so good and you do away with that, right? Jesus ate. His body could be touched. He consumed food. Now, one interesting note that you see in the scriptures is in John 20, in one of his appearances to the disciples, they are behind locked doors, and he suddenly appears. He apparently materialized before them. Now, this raises questions, ultimately, that we don't know the answer to, and that is this normal, or is this just Jesus' behavior? Right, because he was appearing for 40 days. Did the Lord just allow him to appear? Or will we all be able to materialize and walk through doors? I don't know. I guess we'll find out soon enough, right? Also, it's important for us to notice how Jesus interacted with individuals in relationships after the resurrection. Notably, the relationships picked up where they left off. That is, that there is continuity. They're normal interactions, similar to before. You get a couple pictures. Mary thinks he's a gardener. She's downcast. She's troubled and asks him a question. Do you know, almost like she's not paying attention to him, do you know where they have placed him? And he says, Mary. Right, and she can recognize his voice, and she looks at him, and just like that. Can you imagine the look in his eye at that moment? Or when Thomas, when he appears to Thomas, he had previously appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there, and he reappears to Thomas, and then he says to Thomas, because Thomas had said, I will not believe unless I can touch. And he says to Thomas, touch. Place your hand in my side. Believe. Or this account to Peter, where Peter had gone back fishing. And they had fished all night and caught nothing. And this is identical pattern, a similar pattern repeated to when Peter was called as a disciple the first time. And Jesus shows up on the shoreline and says, hey, why don't you try casting on the right side this time? Right, they're fishermen. They've been fishing all night. Like, they need to be told, yeah, try that side. And they can't even pull it in. Could you imagine the smile on Jesus' face at that moment? Because he is still him. We still express ourselves with looks in our eyes and smile on our face. All of these things. It's very important to understand that there is continuity. Now, you also need to understand that Jesus was healed. His resurrected form was healed. There was continuity. There's always the question of why were the scars still there? Maybe the scars are there just for Jesus, right? Well, all of our bodies still have scars. We're not given that detail. But what you are to assume, right? Jesus was beaten within an inch of his life, okay? So he's not rising from the dead 3 days later and still limping around and saying, can you nurse my back and those sorts of things. Like, he's resurrected. He's healed. He's fully strong and functioning. So I know we have questions like, when I'm resurrected, am I going to be... Bubba told me last week, he said, I like the fact that we're resurrected and I'm my same self. I just don't want to be 69. I'll be happy if I'm 29, just not 69. And so, of course, it's good, it's right for us to have all those questions. One person was bummed because he thought he'd get an immediate diet plan. And you mean I'm going to be overweight? No, like, look, listen, here's the deal. You're going to be healed. You're going to be fixed. The Bible says it is greater than what you could ever imagine. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 15, okay? So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, but it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body, imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual body, fixed, healed, no longer sinning, but still you. Okay? But still you. And the Bible puts this together. It says, listen, beloved, it is greater than what you could ever imagine. You do not understand the extent of fallen nature. You do not know what it has done to your mind, to your thinking, to your psyche, to your emotions, to all of it. You do not understand. It is greater than what you could ever imagine. So do not leave here and go, well, shucks, I'm going to be me. Yeah, you're going to be you, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Greater than what you could ever imagine. Like I said last time, you're going to be so comfortable in your own skin. You're going to know God has made me in his image to bear his name with my intricacies and my quirkiness and me. He's going to be me. And I will love that about me, and I will be like Jesus. I will see him as he is, and I will walk in newness and freshness of life, the resurrection. Right? And the Bible begs us as believers to long and to look forward, to place our hope and our trust and our longing for that day. Because it is so soon, beloved. It is so soon. So soon. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the resurrection from the dead. And we cannot wait to see you, King Jesus. I cannot wait. You are our delight. You are our love. You have given us hearts that beat for you. And the more they beat for you, it stirs up affection for you, God. And it is so good. Jesus, we want to see you. We want to touch your side. We want to be able to sing praises to you. We cannot wait. Help us to delight in what is good and what is right, in your promises for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.